Amen. Hallelujah. Just raise your hand to heaven and give God praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. You can have your beautiful seats. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank the Lord for the privilege to be standing here. I want to appreciate our pastor. I don't take this for granted. I want to thank God I'm in church this morning. I don't know about you, but I want to turn to your neighbor by your right and by your left and say, you're welcome to church. You're welcome to church this morning. I'm happy to see you. I'm excited that you are in the house of the Lord. Being in church is the best place that you can ever be. Hallelujah. Being in church is the best place that you can ever be. And you know what? Being alive is a privilege. And then being alive and every part of your body is working well is a rare privilege. You doubt me? Now, some of you are around here. Take a stroll to the nearest hospital and see people who have had accidents that their leg have been raised for years. And there is no assurance that they will ever walk again. But you will wake up, you jump up, you are on the streets. Just take a stroll out of this place sometime. I spoke with somebody on Sunday, last Sunday when I was at work. I said, anybody who is still mingling with sin is ungrateful. Anybody who is still mingling with sin is ignorant. Because I was almost crying that Sunday. How old is that boy? Is he a boy or a girl? I don't even know that he's boy or girl. Because he's just like maybe 5 years. And the tumor that has affected his system. Now, look how the tumor came. It went first to his kidney. They removed his kidney. The tumor was not satisfied. It grew from the kidney to the brain. Now, from the brain, it has removed one eye. You see the young baby looking like a monster. It has removed one eye. I was crying and talking to my colleague, and she said that it has even entered the second eye as both of us are talking. I said, what in devil wants? So, if you are alive, you are in church, it's a privilege. If every part of your body is working well, it's a rare privilege. That 5-year-old boy or girl has not done anything wrong. To have a kidney removed, leave the child now to his brain. Leave him alone now to his eyes. Now his head has different mounting. Tumor is shooting out. I don't need you to tell me to serve God. I don't care if you are ignorant. If you have nothing to do with your life, OYO is your name. But on the last day, you will be asking yourself, what covered my eyes? Because those people who are going through pain will tell you that I went through, but I was still serving God. And then you look at yourself fully complete and you are doing nothing for God. To be a day of tears, oh, my brother and my sister. Being in church is a privilege. Being healthy is a rare privilege. Look for somewhere and serve God. I want to thank our pastor for this team for this month, the month of kingdom service. It's a very viable team. Hallelujah. It is not possible for somebody to say you are spiritual. Let me say what Pastor said last. I wrote it down. It is not possible for somebody to say that he or she is spiritual without being committed to God. It is not possible for you to say I'm a child of God and you can look around and you have no business serving God. It's not possible. If I'm committed to you, I will show it by how I respond to you. So whenever you know that you are comfortable in the house of God, you're not serving, you're doing nothing, you are not spiritual. Because love has a way of propelling you. Love will not allow you to stay, to sit. Love will not, it will just carry you. When you are moving and going to church, you don't even know. When you are looking for what to do, you were doing it because you're just so much in love. And I tell you, every excuse you are giving might sound reasonable today. But tomorrow, when all the chips are down, that your excuse will be what? Inconsequential. Because the people who are blind will be serving. People who are deaf will be serving. People who are dumb will be serving. And then you look at yourself, you could do nothing. You had loads of excuses that weighed nothing, that meant nothing. And you have nothing to show. 1 month that you must look for a way and get busy. So that you will say that you were not told. What is service? Service is the act of doing work for somebody. So kingdom service is the act of working for God. And anybody who does service is a servant. So I'm talking this morning about kingdom servanthood. Let's read one scripture. Philippians chapter 2. Kingdom servanthood. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. May this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, please follow me, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Who, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. He is God. Hallelujah. Are we following? Alright. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He made himself of no reputation and took up the form of a servant. You see that kingdom service is not about your shoulder. It's not about your title. It's not about what you are doing. It's about being a servant. So we have one example that you cannot deny. In Philippians chapter 2, he said, he became of no reputation. And then he took upon himself the form of a servant. Jesus, God, Almighty, came as a servant. Are we following? He took upon himself the form of a servant. God. You know, sometimes people don't know God. You know, when you're talking about God. Have you ever asked yourself that these clouds have not fallen on our heads any day? What is keeping it without a pillar? Remove this pillars. This building will collapse. As light as this building. But look at the clouds. Big clouds, galaxies, different planets hanging up there. Look at the river, Mississippi, the longest river. It has not overflown its bank every day. God is holding all those things. Every morning, you see the sun. Every night, the moon comes. They've not disobeyed. The God we're talking about is too powerful. We cannot talk about him. And then he came down and became a servant. Kingdom service is about kingdom servanthood. It's not about what you are called, what you are named. You know, there are new leaders right now, and people will dwell on the title. And so in your department, you are not working. You are answering big name. There's no reward for title. You can be a member of that team and get the highest reward, not even being the leader. What God is blessing you for is for your service, not for your name or your title. So remove title from your mind and begin to walk. Hallelujah. Are we together? Who is a servant? Let's read Exodus chapter 4, verse 23 to tell us how important God, how God values service. Exodus 4, 23. How important service is to God. There's one scripture that pastor reads often and all, and I love it. Said, see, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. If you refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay your son, even your firstborn. God is interested in service. The reason why you are delivered, you are set free, you are healthy, you are strong, is because of service. So it can leave you in that bondage if you have nothing to do for him. It can leave you under the grip of Pharaoh. If you have not, he said, let my son go. Everyone who serves God is his son. Let my son go that he may serve me. Let my son go. God is interested. He said, if you don't let my son go, Pharaoh, I'm going to slay your son. And what if the son has refused to serve? He will remain there. Hallelujah. Service is how we are wired. Service is our duty, our responsibility towards God. A servant, number one, because of our time, is somebody who has no will of his own. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat, my responsibility is to do what? The will of him that sent me and to finish his work. A servant has no will. You're serving somebody and then you decide when to serve the person. You're not truly a servant. When the good is going well, I will serve. When the money is there, I will serve. When I have new clothes to wear, I will serve. When I have food to eat, I will serve. When God gives me a new job, I will serve. When this, that, you are not yet a servant. When everything is cozy, you know, I will serve. When pastor encourages me, I will serve. When they give me a post, I will serve. When this and that, a servant has what? No will of his own. So if you are serving at your own discretion, you are not a servant. And pastor says every now and then, there's what that's called a bimacid judgment. When all your works will be tried by fire. Have you ever imagined? All those great grandfathers that have gone, where are they right now? Pastor says every now and then, what we do for these few years we're going to spend, we decide where we are going to be. And what we are going to be in eternity. Jesus says that the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, where we read, he said he took the form of a servant. He served. The Bible says he gave himself to be slayed. And the Bible says now God has highly exalted his name and given him a name above every other name. A servant is someone who has no will. Oh Lord, if you say I should start moving, I'm moving. But when I sit in the house and it's service time, and it's time for me to watch Telemundo, I'm not a servant. So I'm contemplating. You know, yesterday somebody was showing me what is happening. That OB something, you know, at work. She was showing me. She was so happy, you know, showing me and laughing. I said, yes. It's true that she said, I like watching Instagram. I'm always happy. I said, babe, it's good to watch it too. But read your Bible too. After watching all these things, When the chips are down, these things will melt like water. It's you. Did you see where they wrote in Revelation? I saw Instagram. I saw Facebook. I saw work standing before the great white throne. I saw the small and the great standing before the great white throne. I did not see, did they write car or building or my, or achievements? Those things have no business. They will fizzle away. It's you that will stand. And even small. A baby that died yesterday was just 3 days old. He was born with his intestine out of the stomach. So, the intestine was hanging inside a bag. And it has become black. That means that it has become what we call gangrenous. And then, it's for it to be cut off. So, the entire intestine of the child. So, the child was smelling. I was saying, oh, poor child. How can you just come to this world and suffer? Only 3 days of your beautiful life. And then you passed off. So that small baby will stand to the small. And then those that are great like this will stand too. So when you choose to serve God at your own discretion, you are not ready for service. You are not ready for kingdom service. You are not ready to be a kingdom servant. Jesus, that is God, said, my meat, my response, my job is to do God's will. Please wake up. The time is very short. Wake up. There is no time again. What will you show when the thieves are down? If the trumpet sounds now, what will you show to your creator? Will you be like that man with 5 talents that made 10, or the one with 1 that went to bury? This is a call for service. Arise. Number 2, a servanthood is a call to sacrifice. Servanthood is a call to sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We're not going to read because of our time. But let's go to John chapter 13. Romans chapter 12, talking about, I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies, living sacrifice, holy and accept. Write it down when you get back to your house. You read it. John chapter 13. We're going to read that. Servanthood is a call to sacrifice. Otherwise, sometimes I wonder when. What you have is more important to you than giving it to God. When your time is more important to you. When your sleep is more important to you. When your pleasure is more important to you. When your hair is more important to you. When your time is more important to you. Rain is falling. And then he said, I beg, rain the fall. What is the time? I don't know if we go to church, I beg, rain the fall. You don't make me kill Jesus. You are not ready yet, my brother. Because the same you, if they say there's a job opportunity, you go under that rain. The same you, even if they said, come and take 5,000 naira. Come, you enter under that rain. Is it you that will say, rain the fall, oh, I beg, don't make me kill Jesus, my dear. The people who are going under the rain and that are killing Jesus are going higher. Let me tell you the truth. John 13. Those people have been saying that they don't kill Jesus many years ago, and they remain where they are. While their mates were going higher, and they were still saying it. John 13, chapter 5. Servanthood is a call to sacrifice. Let's read 5. We're going to skip. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash their feet, to wipe them with the towel wherewith he gathered. So Jesus tied the towel on his waist, washed their feet, and cleaned it with a towel. Verse 13, John 13:13. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. John chapter 12, 25 to 26. He that loveth his life shall lose it. But he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there also shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. We'll talk about the benefits later. Jesus picked up his towel, put their feet in water, and began to wash the feet of a man that he made. That sacrifice. Sacrifice of ego and pride. Sacrifice of reputation. He made me man, made from clay, dust, and him, the creator, squats, put the leg of the creature inside water and begin to wash it. Use towel and clean it. That sacrifice. Whatever is more important to you has not been given as on the platform of sacrifice. Whatever is more important to you leadership, servanthood, kingdom service is about sacrifice. Thank God for Jesus. He showed us the perfect example. If you are willing, the Bible says, if you put your hand on the plow and look back, you are no fit for the kingdom. If you put your hand, verse 25 in John chapter 12 says, if you love your life, if he that loveth his life will lose it, he that loveth his reputation will, he that loveth his job, he that loveth his pride will lose it. Whatever you put in front, somebody was telling me someday, and he said, my Oga said that I cannot come to work. And I said, babe, you will lose that job. It's not a problem. You know, when I talk to some people, they say, blood of Jesus. I say, me, you cannot say blood of Jesus against me. Me, I'm his daughter. I'm not prophesying something bad. But over time, whatever takes the place of God, God brings that thing down. Ask Pharaoh. It's an old thing. You will not be the first to start it. Anything that takes the place of God in your life will come down. Because he cannot share his glory with something else. So, for you to think that thing will come before God, my brother and my sister, Pharaoh has drowned in Red Sea. That is it is a call to sacrifice. Get ready to sacrifice your time, your money, your energy, without looking back, without looking for recognition, without looking for encouragement. Let's go on because of our time. Number 3, servanthood. A servant is somebody who is resilient. Who is resilient? Because service is not always convenient. Anybody who is always passive about service. Okay now. How you want him? Now so you go be. He's not a servant. That is what happened to that man with one talent. I beg. Anyhow, the master talk. Now only one, he give you, thank you for the one. And he dropped it. Every servant is a resilient person. Service is not always easy. People will talk about you. Look at Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. We'll all read it. Go back home and read it. Was it easy for him to lay down his life? No. They were not going to shoot him with an arrow. They were going to flog him and give him 39 strokes. Did you watch that movie with us that day? Thank you, Papa, Pastor, for that movie. They flogged him with the rods that have what? A hook. They will flog him and then drag it by his body. And it will pull his flesh. That was not even enough for them. And then they will look at the human being. Try putting a needle through your hand. And pass nail. Not through one. Join the two. And then as hard as this feet is with all the bones in the feet, pass through nail. Servanthood is not easy. And God does not play with blood. Remember the story of the Moabite king. During the war, they were winning them. Israelites were winning. And then the man took his son and killed. And then God turned his back. Remember, God sees blood. You will serve to the point that you will feel it. You will serve the point. So servanthood is resilient. It's not working, but you are making it work. You enter a place and that thing has been dead, not working. Let me use maybe the television has not been working. Now you are made to be a worker in that television department. It's your job to make it work. Every servant who goes about complaining is not a servant. You are just a complainer. Because servanthood is a call for resilience. It's not working. You want to make it work. This thing must work. Why will it not work? This department must be great. Why will it not? This church must be great. I will put in my best. And God says, this one is ready for something big. Turn your Bibles to me. To look to John 9:4. Time. Okay, let's read Matthew 10:16. Servants must be resilient. Whether it's favorable or not. If you put your hand on the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. If you put your hand on the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. Look at Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. That's the place I want to stop there. So you can walk with people who will not encourage you, but you're still putting your best to make it work. You can walk in circumstances that you will not encourage you. You know, I was somewhere. Somebody said, babe, all your friends are going abroad. When are you going to travel? Is it easy for you to go? I said, I'm not in a hurry. I have plans. Because every time you wake up and ask, where is this person? They say he has gone. Where is this person? Because it's very easy. There's visa everywhere for us to just put and travel. That is people that are struggling to go. It's so easy now. They are opening borders everywhere, opening Saudi Arabia, because they need more hands to come out. Even Dubai is open. Just apply, and they will take you. I say, relax, have work. When you serve, when God opens doors for you, even you will be overwhelmed. But at that point of your service, it might not be easy. At that time that God is seeing you putting your best to make it work. Say, I'm sending you forth as wolves. So right now, talking to leaders, workers, you're working and circumstances looking like, ah, it's not working. This thing is too hard. People are talking about you. Problem here and there. Put your head and continue to work. I don't want to read other scriptures, but write it down. Luke chapter 9:62, Matthew 25:16. Let's go on. Number 4. A servant must be ready to love and forgive. A servant must be ready to love and forgive. No matter the hurt. Every servant who still has the heart of stone is not a servant. Because the Bible says, I will give you a heart of flesh. If you are going to a point in your life and you say, oh, I'm the head of a department, and then you can keep grudges, you can hurt somebody, and you can keep malice. You have refused to forgive. You have refused. There is nothing like forgiveness in your dictionary. You are not ready to be a servant. You are still a boss of God. You are still an ogre of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. Ephesians chapter 5, 1 to 2. Say, be therefore followers of God, my dear children, and walk in love as Christ has loved you. And giving himself for an offering, a sacrifice. But the most important is walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in love. This amount of kingdom service, admit all the energy you're going to put in, mix it with love. Love will make you to put a call to somebody who you heard talked ill about you yesterday. Love will make you to say, how are you? When the person looked at you and said, who are you to talk to me? Love will make you say, it's all right. I forgive you. But come, let's walk. You must mix your kingdom service with a heart full of love. Full of love. God searches our hearts. Every now and then. The Bible says, for him, actions are weighed. It will be a futile effort and energy if you have done all the things you are doing and then there is hatred in your heart for the person next to you. Hey, is it easy to do that? No. But people have done it before. The same brothers who sold him and threw him to prison from their schemes. The same brothers that you open hands. Everyone who keeps on loving and forgiving is always ahead. Everyone who is always the one who forgives is always a new heart. I'll give you. Thank you, media team. Everyone who keeps on loving and forgiving is always ahead. So it doesn't matter what you are doing if you don't mix it with love. A servanthood is a call to love, it's a call to forgiveness. And then number 5, because of our time. A servant depends on his master for help, for counsel, for instruction. A servant always takes instructions from his master. A servant always takes instruction from his master. In this kingdom, you don't do it your own way. There is a pattern for it to be done. And our master is Jesus. He will tell you what to do, how to do it, when to do it, why you should do it. Let's write it down or put on the screen. John 15:4, Matthew 10:24. A servant always depends on his master. We can read Matthew 10:24 because of our time. Matthew chapter 10:24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. When you take instruction from the devil, you are his servant. Who is instructing you on how to walk? Who is instructing you on how to serve? Who is speaking to you? Oh, have you had time for God lately? When did you read your Bible last? When did you study God's word last? So why are you getting instruction to walk? How can you be a servant and he doesn't speak to you? Who are you serving then? Because he will speak to you in service. Wednesday service, he will speak to you Friday, Sunday, when you read your Bible at home. How can you work for somebody who is not giving you instruction? A servant is one who gets instruction from his master. And you can see people who say, I'm serving, I'm leading, I'm working. And from day to day, they have no business with their Bible. They are busy doing something else. Occupying their time and their season and their effort with Instagram and social media. And they are not studying God's word. They are not in church. It's service day. It's workers meeting. It's this and that. No time. A servant must take instruction from his master, and he will instruct you in every opportunity that he has. In church, as you read your Bible, as you pray, he will speak with you. The Bible says, like for Moses, he talked with God as friend with friend. God expects you to grow to that level where he can relate with you and talk with you. He's looking for a relationship with you. And so there is no servant who does not have a relationship with God. That's where I'm going to. How is your relationship with God? Is it watered? And then finally, a servant must be ready to raise others and be an example. A servant must be ready to raise others and be an example. Jesus talking to Peter. He said, Peter, feed my lamb. If you are in a unit or a department and you are not able to raise others, you're not able to encourage other people to serve, you want to serve alone, do it alone. Not motivate. You want to discourage people from serving. No, some people are like that. They just discourage other people. No, I want to do it alone. No, 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 no. Jesus told Peter, he said, feed my lamb. Raise other people. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, we're going to read that one. He said, to faithful men, raise other people. Gather, mobilize people to walk. Be the one that's always calling people, come, let's do this for God. Come, let's serve. Oh, come, let's go and go for event. Now we have a program coming up. You don't need to wait for them to say, go out and invite people. You go on your own. You mobilize people. Let pastor be somewhere hearing that, so team, all the women, all the men, all the youths, they are out there in one junction, paying transfer for people, inviting people to church, evangelizing. Be an encourager for people to serve God. By your example. By your lifestyle. Not when you are with people. It's bad things about somebody you are saying. Or about the church. One benefit, and then I'm done. Eternal posterity or eternal prosperity. Let's read 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 5. Stopping soon. We'll go to 2 Chronicles 26, 5. It pains to serve Jesus. I speak from my heart. You'll always be with us.
If we do our part, there's nothing this wide world can pleasure afford. There's peace and contentment in serving the Lord.
And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Service brings about eternal prosperity. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, 7 to 14. We'll read that the last and then we'll pray.
I love him far better than in days of yore. I serve him more truly than ever before. I do as he bids me, whatever the cost. I'll be a true soldier, I'll die at my post.
1 Chronicles.
I love him far better than in days of yore. Lord, I'll serve you more truly than ever before. I'll do as he bids me, whatever the cost. I'll be a true soldier, I'll die at my post.
1 Chronicles chapter 17. Just one benefit today because of our time. I'm stopping here. 17 from verse 7. God speaking to David. Benefits of service is eternal prosperity. Now therefore thou shalt say to my servant David, thus saith the Lord, I took you from following the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. Go on. And I've been with thee, whither thatsoever thou walked, and I've cut off all thy enemies from before thee, and made thy name great, like the name of the great men in the earth. Go on. And I will ordain a place for my people Israel, our plan. No, go to verse 10. I just want to read verse 10. 11. Please go back and read it. I want to stop because of our time. And it shall come to pass when your days will be expired, that thou must go to be thy fathers. I will raise up thy seed after thee. We shall be thy sons. I will establish your kingdom. You know who David was? The Bible says that the father gave him sheep to care for. Sheep. And in the bush, lion came. He killed lion for sheep, not minding his life. In the bush, bear came. He killed bear for sheep, not minding his life. And then God says, see you. You were a shepherd boy before, but I made you a king. You want God to make you a king? Then be a shepherd boy. You want God to make you a king? Don't go about canvassing for it. It doesn't come by canvas. Promotion does not come from the north, not from the south, not from the east. It comes from God. He said, I will make your kingdom to be established as bad as David was. Till now, even Jesus came from the root of David. You want eternal prosperity. You want to last. You want to remain. You want to be elevated. You want to be promoted. It's as simple as service. Let's bow our head and begin to pray.
If you lead me, I will follow. Where you call me, I will answer. Oh my Lord, please teach me how to follow.